This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, July 9th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd really like to talk about. Perhaps you've had a problem. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all those things that you thought might work and end up not working at all, right? Well, here's your opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's get into the meat of it and see what we can do for you. But as always, we have a topic that we want to discuss with you in detail today, and even in more detail this Wednesday, July the 12th, 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing. What's the topic? Concussions and, you know, different types of injuries and sport injuries and so forth, and bangs in the head and the things that show up. But who's in office to talk about this? A specialist in the area, none other than Dr. Scott Lamp. Welcome, Scott.
Good morning or good afternoon.
You know, you are confused. It was you that got hit in the head in that accident.
That's right. It happened back in high school.
And see, that's what happens over a period of many years. It just continues to accumulate. You get your head knocked.
That's right.
And now you have no concept of function.
I get abused at work. That's probably what happens.
Tell your boss. Seriously, this area of concussion, you know, we hear so much about concussive problems. You know, the brain gets rattled, and now suddenly, you know, the NFL and hockey players and our kids and so forth, everybody's worried that, you know, we're going to end up this dumb, stupid population, and it's affecting just not that, but ever. You know, we used to see it with boxers, right? Guys get in the ring. They get
punch drunk.
They get their head beat in. And basically what they suffered is repetitive injury and trauma to the brain and the sequela, everything that we see that takes place. They don't know who they are anymore.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, so much of what we see in the public, just normal Joe Blow, if you will, down the street, has that history, that lineage.
Well, I think a lot of times is people don't really know how to recognize it sometimes. It's taken a long time to get up to this point. And then, you know, you got people in these professional sports. There's a lot of money out there. And with those money, you want to keep those people out there and entertained. So sometimes we kind of take a separation of how some of those things in sports-wise, how a professional athlete will go after it and how the amateur is. And I think really we have to make sure the amateur is safe. But we got to go beyond just the amateur. We've been doing this to our bodies ever since we're kids. So even in the older populations, there's a lot of problems with this you don't realize. And so, you know, if you ever out there and you had like a stinger or saw stars or you got dinged, those are probably concussions. And a lot of times we don't admit to those. And sometimes those are cumulative effects, and sometimes we don't take the necessary rest or other precautions to make things work. We just keep on working on and not realizing what we're doing to ourselves.
So, Dr. Scott, let's talk about these things. We touched upon the fact that it's cumulative. We touched on the fact that it happens to kids, but it also happens to adults. It happens to people domestically.
I mean,
you know, shaken baby syndrome.
Exactly.
You know, babies' heads getting rattled, right? Domestic violence and abuse.
Military. You
know, people getting punched around. Military, same type of thing.
Right.
You know, we're throwing ourselves on the ground. We're doing all kinds of things. So what else? You know, what are the, if we said all incidents of concussion, you know, what do we have to really look at? I mean, this is just not an athletic type of thing, although it's very serious with athletes, no matter what they are. Young, old, professional, or amateur.
Yeah.
But, you know, in our normal daily life.
Well, the other thing is, what do you bring into the table? I mean, do you have, let's say, if the body's, we call it pro-inflammatory, your body's inflamed already, and then you have a concussion. Inflammation has a tendency to be like a wall to shut off information or communication in the body. So hormones get affected. Neurotransmitters can get affected. Those are kind of the chemicals in your brain. I can't get nutrition and oxygen to certain places. So everybody, and to some extent, we all trip and fall. We all hit our heads. How often? I'm a tall person. I don't know how many times I've got them stand up, and all of a sudden the cabinet doors open above my head.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
Of course, Tom set me up. but because of those situations, we're constantly hitting the head. And again, you know, do we see stars? Do we see those things? And again, if you're in a pro-inflammatory state, you might be that much more susceptible to these kind of injuries.
You know, it's important to understand that, as you said, we don't know that they're happening. We're ignoring the little bit of symptom awareness.
Well, one of the key things is there's no pain sensory to this. Unless you get hit on the head and get a cut and you feel the pain from that, maybe headaches. But a lot of these things are not necessarily pain-based, because the brain itself doesn't necessarily, in those particular areas of the brain that we're talking about, doesn't necessarily have pain. But there's cognitive changes. There's other things. And you got to be alert. And sometimes you might have your spouse pointing those out and saying, you know, you're not remembering that. How come you can't get those words out?
Well, here's an interesting compounded injury pattern that most people don't think about. Let's say that we're sitting at the light and we got hit from behind by, you know, 5-10 miles an hour, right?
So whiplash. Yeah,
there's not a lot of damage to the car, so that force of impact goes through the car, and guess who gets it? It's the occupant. And by the time it reaches the head, it's about 5 to 6 gravitational units of energy,
right?
So that brain's getting hit. We're sitting on the couch or the sofa. We're watching television, and all of a sudden we're nodding off, and that head flings forward.
Right.
That traumatizes the brain.
Right.
It's another injury that's taking place. Or we turn around and suddenly we smack our head against the wall.
Right.
Now, the problem is all of these things are stacked one on top of the other,
right,
and we start to show injury patterns and the symptomological representation over a period of years.
And especially if you've had one of those and then all of a sudden you go back and you do one almost immediately afterwards, it's exponentially the damage you can do.
So let's talk about concussion for a little bit. And, you know, I know this Wednesday evening, this, I think it's the 12th at 7 p.m., you're going to get into this in depth. You're going to get into this in detail and show people how these things stack upon other patterns, as you said earlier, inflammatory reactions that are due to either pain that we're putting up with, or, you know, dietary patterns that are causing inflammatory barrier, type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, where you can't transport anything into the site. But what are the symptoms? What are the things that people really have to be aware of? How do they know that maybe, you know, that because they got hit as a kid, they fell on the ice rink, they're playing hockey, they're playing football, they're playing soccer, hitting the ball with their head. And now years later, or all the other little things we talk about, from car accidents to, you know, knocking your head, whatever, how do we begin to suspect? If there's no pain presentation, how do we know?
Well, sometimes there's headaches, but headaches is probably the number one aspect, but then you have cognitive effects in those type of things. I get anxiety. I get depression. They feel also places in the brain. The depression and anxiety kind of go hand in hand. I fly off the handle. I get angry very, very, very easily. I never used to do that kind of thing. There's aspects of ringing in the ears. There's aspect of slurred speech. There's aspects of ringing in the ears. Again, balance aspects go off. And so there's the problem is where exactly in the brain's affected. I think we got to talk about the brain here a second. It's kind of like a jelly mold wrapped in saran wrap attached to this hard piece of skull. And so what happens is when you get a linear or a push from one side of that head, it pushes the brain and floats through a water medium, which is kind of like cerebral spinal fluid. There's this fluid in there that kind of helps protect it, but it gets slammed back on the opposite side. So there's two types of motion that happens with these things. There's a linear motion where you go from front to back, but the worst one is the rotational moment. And you're talking about the car accident where your head flips forward, and that's a rotational moment movement inside the skull. And this kind of saran wrap that goes around our jelly mold to hold the brain gets pulled and tugged, and it whips it. And then and the question is how much damage is there? Sometimes you don't see anything on MRI. You don't see anything on CT scans. And the only thing you get is actually what's in the clinical presentation that you see.
You know, I had a patient come in recently, within the last couple months, and this woman had been in a very ugly, abusive relationship.
Right.
And she came in to see us because she was complaining of chronic pain, mm-hmm. and it was spinal pain all the way through. Right. But as I got into the pattern and asked her the questions and began to see that there was an emotional relationship to a lot of things that I was finding, and she finally admitted that over a period of a course of a marriage that had lasted about 18 years, about 12 years, her husband, for whatever reason, had become extremely abusive. And, you know, she was getting smacked around and hit on a regular basis.
Right.
And these things to occur. There was a girl, and you know the patient. Anyway, we treated her, and she had neurodegenerative disease and had been everywhere in all kinds of medications. And when she came into the office, the one thing everybody was missing is that her wonderful boyfriend had taken her by the back of the head and slammed her face into the staircase, you know, and was rattling the brain in that way, right. causing distortion, dysfunction. Those things happen on a lesser basis. Nevertheless, the symptom representation is the same.
Right. And there's 60 different listing aspects of possible concussion elements from everything from, you know, like I said, from balance to cognitive behaviors having problems, memory loss, those kind of things. There's a ton of those aspects. And then sometimes they don't show up immediately. They could come up days later. Could be even a week or month later that all of a sudden you start seeing these differences. And so we've got to be kind of more diligent in how we're looking at things and understanding, you know, you go back to the youngsters and, you know, I work with some, you know, baseball teams in the past and things on the kind of the amateur level. And one of the things is that, you know, we've always got this push to do more and do better in competition. But the thing is we don't tell people what's going on. I think we should really understand when you have like a ringing in the ears, somebody has like, I feel like we dinged, I see stars and those kind of things. It's significant and it needs to be told either from an older person to a younger person. It's important to know what that is to follow up. I mean, there's case by case by case. There's a case that was presented at the Canadian Summit on Concussions here in 2017 about a rugby player that her name was Rowan. And she played one day and she had a concussion. 2 days later, a concussion. Third day, concussion. She went into a coma. And what happened was is nobody picked up on it. And the only way when they investigated found out is when they went to her cell phone. She was cognizant enough to tell her friends what was happening, but she never told an adult.
And that was the end of that.
That was the end of it. And she's now an organ donor and she's now passed away.
You know, it's unfortunate. We see things on a lesser basis. You know my history, and when it, 12, 13 years ago, the first accident that I had, and this is accumulated based on, I played, Division I football in college, martial arts, wrestling. Mm-hmm. I grew up very tough and hard in New York. And so now here I am at a conference in Las Vegas. I'm coming off the escalator. I'm standing backwards. The Flamingo Hotel, there's a lip on those old escalators. My heels hit the lip, throw me backwards. I flip over to try to break my fall. What stops me is my head in a marble pillar. And I heard everything explode. I went blank, probably, it seemed like forever, but it was probably a second. Mm-hmm. And my disorientation and so forth. And then, not to belabor, then about 3-4 years later, then a head-on car accident that almost killed Sue and I.
Right.
So you add that, and then if you had never heard me on the air before, you may have noticed that I was reaching and grabbing for words, and I was struggling with that. If you had heard the program before, you know there was a significant difference.
Right. Right.
Fortunately, because of the work that we do and the fact that I had a lot of things available to me, that I was able to fully and totally recover. What I want to draw from that is that these types of injuries, before they lead to what looks like old age dementia and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and MS and total body distortions, they're fully resolvable under the right circumstance. My guest in studio, Dr. Yep. Scott Lamp, we're talking about concussions and how they affect the body. This Wednesday evening, the 12th, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing, Dr. Scott will be your host, your presenter, and how you make that happen is call 703-698-7117 and tell them that you want to be there. We need a reservation. It's free. It's our gift to you. We'll be right back after some important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Call us. We're talking about a very interesting topic today, concussions. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, the 12th, at the Rozelle Center for Healing, 7 p.m., Dr. Scott Lamp. He'll be your presenter and the guy that will walk you through the weeds on this one. We know it's a very serious problem. Again, Dr. Scott, welcome. Let's get back into the topic a little bit. In the second half, I want to get into much more detailed patterns. But these problems are things that we ignore, particularly when it comes to, and I want to just touch on our children for a second.
Right.
Because we're seeing a lot more kids with ADD, ADHD,
right.
And kids aren't eating well. And
right.
So they are already inflamed.
Right.
How does this make life worse?
Well, inflammation, like I talked about before, blocks pathways, and inflammation is actually involved with almost every major disease that you have out there. So the brain is made, the brain is mostly made of fat. It's 60% fat. The neuron wrappings called myelin are made out of fat and stuff of that nature. In dietary aspects, we don't get something called omega-3s in very well, EPAs and DHAs. They're kind of components of what this thing called omega-3s. And they're not quality, they're quality fats versus other fats that are kind of processed that create inflammation. And how we kind of sometimes see this, I think I've mentioned to you before with the blue zone idea, they start looking at areas where people live healthily for long periods of time, higher ratios of 100-year-olds than anywhere else in the world. And they look at those ratios and they find a lot of omega-3s are high versus some of these things that are processed omega-6s, where they call arachidonic acids. Again, I want to throw you some big terms here though. And those ratios are very, very important. And they seem to be factors in controlling part of the inflammation aspect. And our children are eating junk. And let alone we're not getting into vaccinations and stuff like that, other things are intrusive into the body that create these kind of problems that, again, can make us more susceptible. And the other thing when I say omega-3s, which is important, because it's kind of like being a fat, it's on the outside part of our cells. And they're feeling that part of that is if I have a very bad ratio of those, if there's not enough in my system, it makes the cells more brittle. It actually can tear easier. So if you're talking about a concussion with somebody who has this kind of dietary aspect, are they predisposed to injury?
So
and I think they are.
Any kind of blow or trauma to the head at that point.
So with everything equal, and they have one has a bad diet, one has a good diet, who are you going to bet on?
I know where my money's going.
Yeah.
You know, it's an unfortunate situation that we have the predominance, the incident from all causes.
Right, right.
You know, the lecture that you're going to be doing this Wednesday evening is, concussion and other sports-related injuries. But we're athletes in our own world because we have to move and do and lift and twist and so forth. But unfortunately, when we look at our model of the triad, structural, chemical, emotional patterns, this incidence of brain injury and trauma ultimately leading into so many other syndromes, if you will, is over the top significant.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things to relate. And it's like you said, it's extremely important to talk about and get a good history on people sometimes. I mean, I've recently just had a new patient that came in and just like, I can't remember. And she said, I can't remember any trauma that happened to her. Then we kind of started pulling things out and said, oh, I had that fall. And when I did fall, I hurt my arm, but I also fell on my tailbone and that pressure went all the way up to my head. And I remember having one person a while back saying, I haven't had any major problems. And the next day he came back and says, I got thrown through a barn door. I mean, right through the door.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah. And it's like, okay. And we kind of have a tendency to kind of forget some of these things that accumulate. You know, even when we look at an x-ray, we're looking at your life up to that point. What have you done to yourself? And that kind of shows the scar tissues that happen there. And people don't realize how much scarring is there over a period of time. No little brain tissues like spinal issues and stuff of that nature.
Well, we get into this stupid axiom of what do you expect for your age?
Right.
And it's not age, it's injury accumulated over time.
Right.
Because if you go and you protect yourself and you modify the injury patterns, as time passes, we equivalent that to age, we shouldn't have the problems.
No, but I think this is, what have you done to those things that have happened to you over the period of time? I think that's a little bit different way to look at it. Because did you help yourself or not help yourself, or you ignored it? And no, that's a different aspect.
And the problem is, take two aspirins and call me in the morning.
Right. So that covers it up, and I'm going to be gone.
That's right.
That should be fine.
And then we go limping along, and then we have all the scar tissue that's building up in the nervous system. We're talking about the brain. The brain no longer can communicate. It starts building up fat, and it's not the kind of fat that the brain's made up of naturally. It's the things that the saturated fats, and then you have things like palmitic acid, which causes the brain to degrade, which is all the junk crap that we put in our systems.
All the sugars and stuff, yeah.
That's right. And subsequently, the brain doesn't work the way it's supposed to, but it starts with injury that we're not even aware of. You don't have to be an NFL football player or a hockey player to suffer the slings and arrows of trauma to the brain. We're coming up to that halfway point in the program where we have to take a break. My guest in studio, your host and presenter this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp, talking about concussions, 703-698-7117. Register. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Yes, we are live. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Call us. Love to talk to you on anything. Don't feel that if you're off topic that we won't take your calls, because we will. We're talking about concussions, things that rattle your brain and end up with symptoms that you're not sure where they come from, anywhere from headaches that don't go away to, the inability or difficulty in concentration, irritability. You fly off the handle all the time, particularly after you've been knocked in the noggin. But what we don't get is that these things happen sometimes very early on, and they compound with smaller injuries or smaller injuries stacked one on top of the other. My guest in studio, your host and presenter this Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp, that he'll be talking to you about this subject, the 12th of the month. God, the year's already halfway over. It's not okay. But nevertheless, it's an important topic because we have a tendency to ignore it, and the sequela are compounded over many, many years. We're going to get into the details a little bit more as the program goes on. But first, I'd like to go to the phones. Ron, how can we help you, sir?
Yes, Tom, this is unrelated. Dr. Rozell, this is unrelated to your topic at hand, but I'm dealing with the microbiome or gut flora, and I'm a vegetarian, have been for a long time, and I've got a lot of flatulence. I wanted to know how that might affect the brain, but more importantly, how to deal with that.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are sure. you vegan or are you vegetarian?
Vegetarian. I'm a nutritarian, according to Joel Fuhrman, Dr. MD, eat to live.
Okay.
So greens, onions, mushrooms, beans, berries, seeds, nuts, have been doing that for years and years.
Okay, no animal products at all?
Other than eggs.
Okay, twice. All right. So the thing that you have to be aware of, with that type of diet, you have to have a really good functioning pancreas and gallbladder. If they're not working the way they're supposed to, and those are precipitated by enough hydrochloric acid in the stomach. So what you when you eat something, there's this thing called an acid bolus, a ball that is predigested into the stomach, now triggers the pancreas and the gallbladder to work. If they're not working, things rot, whether they're animal products or whether vegetable fibers. The pancreas has all kinds of enzymes that it utilizes to break these things down, the outer coat around vegetables and so forth. If you don't have that, you're in trouble. So the pancreatic pattern can come from a lot of things. It can come neurological irritation, where the nerves of the spine are being irritated, so they're not firing the pancreas. The gallbladder may be sluggish. It's not working the way it's supposed to, because its brother, its yin partner in Chinese medicine, yin and yang, is the liver, and the liver's not flowing. So it's not as simple. Or simply because, when we hit a certain age in life, when you're 20 years old and 25 compared to when you're 50 years old to 60 years old, at the later years, you produce about one-third amount of hydrochloric acid and pepsin from the stomach that you would when you were younger. So subsequently, the efficiency of that goes away. There are certain bacterium that are necessary. If there's things that you're eating that are not completely organic or their GMO products, they can modify the internal bacterium, and so subsequently you're going to have other problems. Scott?
And also sometimes, too, with like some of the animal proteins you're doing, eggs, when you put that in your mouth and it gets stimulated, you're actually telling the stomach down below to start creating hydrochloric acid. So sometimes what happens, we'll see people with vegan or either vegan or vegetarian, that they'll have low stomach acid based on the fact of what kind of proteins are going in, because that stimulates flow, because the body senses it, it needs to know to digest it. it needs to get that into the system. So sometimes that plays a part in, as Tom is already talking about, you need to have all those things to do proper digestion.
So I take betaine hydrochloride with my meals, so that should stimulate.
That should help that. But again, we go down to the other loop, the pancreas and the intestinal tract itself.
I do have H. pylori. I've had it for years.
Ah, you got to get rid of that, brother.
Yeah.
If you don't get rid of that, you're going to have, by default, you're going to have bloating, gas, cramping.
Yeah.
It goes with the territory, but that can be eliminated. But you have to, and not just by using antibiotics. There are a tremendous number of really excellent natural products that will do it. You know, if we can help you in any way, Ron, give us a call, and you know, we'll walk you through the prism on that. But you have to deal with that first. If you have an H. pylori, I can
knock the acids down.
Yeah, I can guarantee
it's
you
knock the acids right
it's
down.
Knocking it right down, and it's knocking out the good supportive flora in your intestinal tract. So subsequently, you're going to have bloating, gas, and cramping. Give us a call if we can help you. Appreciate it. 888-630-9625. Scott, that's typical. And, you know, I want to extend that just for a minute and talk about the brain-intestinal tract connection. The gut is the second brain.
Right. And there's a leaky gut, leaky brain. And I think what happens is sometimes you get certain T cells firing off, which are kind of part of the inflammatory cascade that happens. You get leaking in the gut, you get leaking in the brain. It kind of opens up those areas, and that kind of possibly happens. So, again, some of these issues that we have, brain issues, a lot of times when people have problems with even on, you know, depression elements, which could happen also with concussion elements, and they're on these SSRI drugs that are associated with serotonin uptake, you got to have a healthy digestive system to really kind of cure that. So it's a whole body kind of like thought process when you're trying to heal these things. And you got inflammation in the gut, it's going to spread inflammation to the brain.
Sure, because, you know, the intestinal tracts, some authors 75%, some authors 80%
right.
of all your neurotransmitters and your immune system is from the gut.
Yeah, I remember the specialist, the book called The Second Brain, and the guy was talking about, indirectly, he was like, you know, when I was trying to heal people's guts up, I found that, 70% or 80% of the people that had depression, it wasn't there anymore after I cleared up the gut. And he was an MD scratching his head. What was this happening? And that's where he came into the thought process is like leaky gut, leaky brain.
This Wednesday evening, the 12th of July, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your presenter, your host at the Result Center for Healing. He's going to be talking about concussions and the long-term consequences of concussive patterns in the body. And there are many. Everything from your gut doesn't work, by the way, mm-hmm. intestinal tract and bloating and lack of digestion, lack of function, all those things show up, and you know, the inability to assimilate information, the inability to transmit short-term information to long-term information, the progressive dementia patterns that we see, unfortunately, at a much earlier age than we've ever seen them before.
So the thing is, let's look at the history, see what's going on with that, see what the symptoms are. Just remember, when this is pulling and you're doing a rotational type device on your brain like that, it's literally jelly wrapped in saran wrap, moving around in the system, and if it gets enough whipping action, you can have all kinds of problems with it.
Let's go back to phones. George, are you hanging in there? George?
I hear static.
George, if you're still listening, do me a favor. Call back on another line. We've got one line that is giving us some troubles, so I apologize. You're blinking, but call on another one, and we'll lock it in, and we should be able to talk to you. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Talking about concussions and
sports injuries, too.
And sports injuries.
Right.
So let's get into the sports injury piece of it, because, you know, we're all athletes at one point of our life or another. You know, we're out playing soccer. We're playing field hockey. You know, we're doing all kinds of things. Scott, take us through. What happens? Why do we ignore it? Why do we put up with and, you know, kind of look the other way when things take place like that?
Oh, there's multiple aspects with that. I think timing, we want to be able to get it right out there and do things, and we think that we're younger than we are. I think if we set ourselves up to actually kind of prepare ourselves before we go out there and do that running jaunt, or, oh, I'm going to double my running time, I'm going to go twice the distance, or doing things. And as we get older, we got to prepare for that. We got to get those bodies pumping, get the blood flowing. And we can do all these things, but we've got to have to prepare ourselves. And I think constant repetition, like we talk about repetitions and concussions, you have repetitions into some of the things we do. And one of the things I'm going to approach with injuries, and most common injuries you have is like sprains and strains, you know, like ankle rolling or having a knee tendonitis or shin splints or tendonitis on the elbow are some of the most common ones. But the thing is like it's repetitive and there's a lot of things that play a part in it. And I'm looking at this as kind of like a four-part aspect. When we talk about it in the talk, we're going to talk about a little bit about scar tissue and what that means. We're going to talk about the aspect of alignment. Am I in a neutral position or not in a neutral position? Think about walking around with your head to your side all day long, or you sleep on the sofa with your head crooked that way.
Your torque and putting pressure on that brain.
Yeah, torque and putting pressure on the brain, but all of a sudden the muscles seize up like that. So there are certain things that you want to be in neutral positions if you're typing all day long, if you're at a desk. And you think about what your hand position when you're sitting on a computer, your mouse, you're actually something called your palm is down, and that's pronation, but that's an end range, and that puts a little stress on the body when you're doing a lot of typing or using a mouse and that kind of thing. So alignment plays an issue. The other aspect that plays a part is body balance. Do we have all our muscles firing, or are some turning off because of injury and the body's favoring one side or the other, some starting to limp of some sort? We want to make sure all the muscles are moving correctly, equally from side to side. We're talking balance with muscles from the side to side, muscles from front to back. Is the quad, your thigh muscle working with the muscle of the back of your hamstring working together? And then the last thing is something called proprioception, which means it's kind of like your balance in space. How can I maintain balance? And all those things that have to be interpreted from different parts of your body to the brain. Again, the brain's got to be functioning. There's that concussion that talks about. And then come back from the brain down and have a result or have some type of reaction to. And so all those play a big part. Spine is important. The muscles are important. The nutritional aspects associated with these are important. We're going to review all those on Wednesday.
888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And how you register for Dr. Scott's program this Wednesday evening, the 12th of the month, is to call 703-698-7117. You know, the problem is I've been lecturing way too many places and having to come up with so many different phone numbers, but that's called the Results Center.
Another concussion problem is excuses.
You know what? You have to work with me tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I do.
You remember that adjustment that I told you I was going to give you tomorrow morning? Just remember.
Okay, I'm calling in sick.
That's right. George, are you hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Okay,
pretty
buddy.
Good.
How can we help you?
I have a little question that's off topic. However, it does relate to the brain because every neuron in my brain is saying, do not step on my right heel. I have, I guess, this plantar fasciitis stuff. And, you know,
fasciitis,
I've had it for about a month now, and now I just get out of the truck and say, just take the pain. So am I... What can I do to not take the pain?
Okay, it can be treated. That's actually one of the more straightforward things that can be done. Let me walk you through it. So plantar fasciitis, you've got this calf muscle called the gastroc, and it goes all the way down. It forms that tendon that goes to your heel, and then it attaches to other muscles underneath your foot. Now, you've got this fascia that Scott referred to as saran wrap in the jelly, but in the brain, it's fascias all over the body. And fasciitis, it's an inflammatory reaction of the fascia, according to medical definition. More appropriately, in this type of situation, is what you've got is you've got a over-tightening, a pulling of the gastroc because the anterior muscles aren't working the way they're supposed to. So it's allowing the foot to be pulled backwards, and that muscle's in a constant state of contraction. And subsequently, where that tendon is inserting in the heel is screaming. It's on fire. It's inflamed. It's irritated. So how you fix that is you have to find the muscles that are inhibited or weak. Fix those. Stretch out the fascia. Use the nutritional pieces. It can be coming from the low back as well. The nerves from the lower portion of the back go all the way down the legs. They facilitate those lower muscles, and if they're not working, so you have multidimensional pattern, but they're highly treatable. Go ahead, Dr. Scott. He's raising his hand. He wants attention. He said, can I speak?
So what I just talked about, there's scar tissue, that's connective tissue. You got alignment issue that possibly could be having some problems. And as I just said, muscles imbalances. Some muscles are turned on, some muscles are turned off, so they're pulling the wrong ways. Proprioceptive. One of the things sometimes I find is an anterior part of the neck, the front part of the neck rolls forward. It pulls on the connective tissue. It's kind of like a, think of connective tissue as one big, huge piece starting from the top of your head all the way down. There's kind of like different pulling patterns, and one goes on the back part of your body, goes all the way down. They call it like anatomical trains, if those people want to seriously look it up, and go all the way down, down to your back, down your hamstring, down your calf muscles to the fascia of the foot. And that's pulling forward, and all that slack's pulled, and you're walking in a strange fashion, you'd be constantly pulling on that, causing irritation. And it's kind of like an proprioceptive input that's causing some problems. So what we just talked about relates directly to that plantar fasciitis.
George, I'll give you a little first aid. Do you have a rolling pin at the house?
Yeah, you know, I looked this up under YouTube and all the YouTube U, and, you know, they say a rolling pin is the best. But I pulled a groin muscle about 8 months ago, and it's just, that's excruciating also. I was just wondering if that had something to do with... It just
yes.
Seems like,
absolutely, buddy.
So it's like, again, remember we talk about alignment? Okay, yeah. My knee hurts. Now I'm going to put more weight on the other side. Uh-oh, now the groin on the other side hurts. Now my back hurts. Now it's all alignment. So the body, what your body wants to do is survive. It wants to get from point A to point B. It'll constantly compensate to do that until it runs into a wall. And you're running into that wall. But you got to look at all those compensating pieces.
So there's, you know, in the foot, there's a bone called the talus. And it's a bone that there's no muscle attached to, but it's a balancing point for the entire gait pattern within that is your walking. If that bone, that talus, is out of position, you're going to set yourself up for groin pulls, headaches, foot drop, all kinds of different things. But, George, it can be dealt with, and it can be dealt with straight up. The rolling pin, if you roll your calf out, will give you some temporary first aid relief, but you're going to have to fix the entire system to make a difference.
And we haven't even talked about the nutritional part of it, too, because
no,
there's a point of that, but that'll be for another day.
That's another day. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. We're coming off and up to a break. Unfortunately, stay in there. This program is way too short. There's more of you online. We'll try to get to your phone calls when we come back. This Wednesday evening, the 12th of the month, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter at the Rozelle Center for Healing. He's going to talk about everything we've been talking about today, concussions, and he's going to talk a little bit about something called the brain span test. Those of you who've been listening have had an opportunity to check that out. Well, here's a better opportunity this Wednesday evening. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at high noon. And no matter where you're at, you do the math. West Coast, 3 hours difference. And those of you listening, you know, after the fact on podcasts, well, thank you very much. And those of you listening through Armed Forces Radio, we appreciate your service and we appreciate you listening. Hopefully we have served you in some way as well. Dr. Scott Lamp, your host, your presenter, this Wednesday evening, the 12th of the month, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, has been our guest today, and we're talking about concussions, and that's what he's going to get into this Wednesday evening.
And sports injuries.
And sports injuries. And sports injuries. Okay, and sports injuries. Concussions. And I like concussions. I mean, it's such a profound...
Is there an echo in here?
There's an echo in here. Scott, seriously, what are we going to get into this Wednesday evening?
We're going to talk about the basics of sports injuries and those typical injuries they have there, and then we're going to get into concussions. So it's going to be half and half. Part of the sports injuries, like I talked about, those elements, the scar tissue, the alignments, the balances, things, of understanding what that happens there. And it's not just for sports injury aspects. It's for people in the job. This really relates to work-related type aspects and the person as a whole. If you're trying to get out there and you're in the weekend warrior or something doing those kind of things and you want to get and improve movement, this is a good one for you. All ages, coaches, from the young at heart to the youngsters, everybody can actually come in and actually get something from this.
It's a topic that is exciting. It's one that is being talked about all over the place, every piece of media, radio, television, printed material, and so forth. We have committees. We have concerned parents groups. We have, and we're talking about concussions and how they affect all of us. And it's really a problem that we see that manifests itself in cognitive decline, incapacity to assimilate information, all kinds of symptoms that are bizarre that don't seem to go away. And there's ways of unraveling them, if you will, to make a huge difference. And I know you're going to get into that this Wednesday evening. But what we have to remember is that anything can cause anything, and to ignore something that can be fixed is crazy. I'm going to take another call. Lewis, thank you very much. How can I help you?
Hi. It's a Achilles tendon that I've had a problem with for 3 months. I'm 57 years old. I got a feeling you could go on and on and on about it. But it's a very active life lifestyle, and I did every sport there was when I was young. So I religiously stretched this, but I didn't know whether it was even working for a couple months. I must not have torn it too bad. I'm better now, but it seems like when I go to stretch it,
we got about a minute.
I'm hurting, and I don't want to stretch it anymore. And it seems fine when I don't now.
Okay, so what you got going on is when it's hurting, it's telling you that it's still injured. There's still a problem there someplace. Mm-hmm. So if you get in a particular posture pattern, you're going to tear it. You're going to re-injure it. So it's either coming from the attachment into the heel itself. It's coming from the irritation of a nerve called the common peroneal nerve because the front muscles aren't firing the way they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. But you have two muscles that make up your calf. You have the gastrocnemius and you got the soleus. One sits on top of the other, and they can react one to the other. And if the knee's out of position, it's going to continue triggering those things. So you have to look at it. You have to fix the cause. Otherwise, it's not going away. The fact, if you had told me it was weak, it really doesn't bother you, but you haven't gotten the strength. But the fact is that when you stretch it, it makes it worse. That tells you that it's susceptible, and you're going to continue to modify your gait and modify your habits, and ultimately, you're not going to be aware at one time, one moment, and you're going to tear something, and now you got a major problem.
Okay. Balance of musculature here plays a part. Tom was talking about the knee. You got to talk about the ankle. What's those muscles on the front part and the opposite side? Are they doing their job? Or is all the energy going to another location? So, again, this is a balance thing, alignment aspect, scar tissue aspect, proprioceptive aspect. There's an echo in here.
It is. The end of the day, Lewis, is that it can be fixed. It's something that it's not going to go away on its own, particularly when you tell me I try to stretch it and it's painful. Not good. That's a sign that says things aren't working the way they're supposed to. Would love to take a look at it for you. Give us a call. Dr. Scott's great at these things. Coming up this Wednesday evening, the 12th. Your presenter, Dr. Scott Lamp, going to talk about concussions and sport injury patterns and so forth. Join us. Call the office, 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. We're at that ugly place in the program that we have to say goodbye. We'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye.